Shoreside Support supplies superyacht chefs and interior programs with anything they need, anywhere they go. We have a full range of meats, seafoods, fruits, vegetables, caviar, truffles, microgreens, specialty items, and anything else that you would ever need for your galley or interior programs. We supply superyachts all over the world, specifically in the USA, Bahamas, and Caribbean. We have the most flexible, reliable, and efficient logistics program in all of yacht provisioning. We have an easy-to-use online order portal that has all of our products, all of our pack sizes, and all of our prices. We remain transparent on all of our pricing throughout the entire process. You approve a quote before we proceed on all the provisions and all the logistics every time. There's no surprises. We source all of your guest provisions from the world's best farmers, artisans, and vendors, and we triple check the quality and the quantity of every product, every order. For your crew provisions, we know that budget is one of your main priorities, so we've developed a crew order guide that has the best crew products at the most aggressive pricing that can fit any budget on any boat. We can get you anything you need anywhere you go. Click the link below to get your order guide now to start ordering and to make your life as a superyacht chef or stew easier and more productive.
Ahoy and welcome to episode 2 of the Rich as Fuck podcast, the show where we talk money, investing, and getting financially free whilst living that yachty life. I'm Charles, aka The Yachting Investor, and this is not just another boring finance podcast. This is a show for yachties by a yachtie. With that being said, I am not a financial advisor, and this should not be misconstrued as financial advice. This is purely informative and educational. So pop in those AirPods, grab a squeegee, and join me in navigating your path to financial independence. Today, I have Lord Luke Hammond, a legendary captain in the industry, with me. Thank you for coming out, sir.
No problem at all. Very, very interested to see where this is going to take us, much like anybody's yachting career. You don't...
Yeah, I mean, pre-departure checklists only get you so far, hey?
They get you off the dock.
That's it. And yeah, completely for all the listeners out there, completely unscripted. This will just be a kind of shoot it out of the hip. I think that's the vibe he's always given me. And just to give everyone some background, who are ya? Where you're from? And how'd you get into this messy business called yachting?
Ah, that old chestnut. So originally found out about yachting when I was living in a ski resort in Colorado back in the mid to late 90s. Started the career in Lauderdale in 2004 officially, and then realized that with every certificate that I gained, I could make a little more money. But with every year in the industry, you learn something new. It was entertaining. The travel was great. The money is good if you know how to hold on to it. And ended up being in it over 20 years already. It's like a blink of the eye.
That's a serious run out there, I think, for... If I think that I've been in the industry for 6 years, and sometimes you feel like you've really reached your boiling point, like it's quite commendable to see people still smiling after 2 decades. So,
you have to be crazy to be in yachting. I don't know one person that's, you know, that's got it all together. Like you, it's definitely, you're reactionary and you learn that there's no such thing as like, tomorrow's a given. Every day is going to be different and change is always going to happen.
Yeah, that's sound advice, especially for people starting out. You know, there's also, I think, the current climate and how social media and all of these TV shows, you know, which I'm referring to, kind of glamorize a lot of what we do. And I think it's quite a rude wake-up call for some youngsters coming into the industry and realizing, oh, shit, okay, it's not really all moonlight and roses. It's pretty gnarly sometimes.
Well, I think it's the preconceived notion coming into yachting for me was always I just wanted to travel. That was the main thing. And I knew that I could make money and I knew that that would work in my favor. But at the same time, there were no other metrics for me to go off. The internet's not like it is today, where you've got the likes of Loon and Unbridled, or everybody else sitting out there putting out content for people to enjoy, consume, and things like that. So you really just did what you were told to do. Pick up a chamois. I always used to say it's like moving rocks. If someone says, today you're moving rocks from here to there, great. Tomorrow you'll move them back. Sometimes it was that repetitive, depending on who you work for. But I think everybody now, the caliber of people are coming in, they're walking out, walking onto a boat, hands out, it's like, gimme, 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 before they actually go do anything. And that kind of changes the environment.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And on that, if you, before we kind of dabble into more the finance and kind of the money psychology things, as an entry member crew, as an entry level crew member starting out now, What would you say to them based on lessons that you've learned and mistakes that you've made? What, sorry for throwing you under the bus there, but what would you do? And what would you not do?
Are we talking finance? Or are we talking career wise?
We're talking career wise, yeah.
I would, for anybody that's coming into yachting, I would say the biggest thing that you could do is, one, keep your mouth shut. Your opinions are great, but I wouldn't want to say they're worthless. But when you're starting out, you are being paid to learn to do a job. And sometimes it seems ultimately mundane, but there is not one industry that's so specific to this where you can be killed, or there's other jobs that you can go and get killed on, but there's a huge element of safety that's involved. But then also you're catering to 1%ers that, you know, really want their boats looking immaculate. So the service and everything that we end up doing is at such a high level that it feels really boring, but everything's experience-based. It's, you can't pick up a book and just go, hey, I understand yachting. You have to learn it on the job. So I would say for anybody coming in, keep your mouth shut. If you don't know what you're doing, ask. There's no problem asking questions, but we don't necessarily need to hear an opinion on it. We just need to see you do it, and we want to make sure you do it well, that you're safe, but also that you're having fun. There is not one part of this, and it is hard work and sometimes repetitive, but at the end of the day, you want to have fun and you want to be safe.
That's really good advice, and it's what you just said to me kind of gave me a little flashback to my first season with a Scottish captain who always used to say to us deck boys, there's no such thing as a stupid question. Just don't ask that stupid question twice. Yeah, learn to listen straight off the bat, I guess, is the lesson in this.
You can't. I think for everybody else, you can't know it all, and we get that. But you've got to be coachable. You've got to have your ears open, and you've got to be ready to learn. That's it. Like, you'll learn something on one boat, you'll go to another boat. Just keep learning. Just be a sponge all the way through your career, and this applies to yachting and everything else. Just keep your ears open. Listen. Grab those bits of advice and try and impart them into what you do as you start moving forward.
And I've got a bit of a hot take here, and I want you to tell me what you think. So I've never necessarily seen yachting as a be-all, end-all, because I think I knew early on in my yachting career that it is not necessarily my ultimate passion, and that I don't necessarily do this to become a captain. However, I have seen and felt across the industry, once you start relaying that message, it kind of becomes, it's kind of a taboo thing to say. They're like, well, what's the point of even being here? Why are we even giving you a job if you don't want to become a master mariner? To me personally, I've always seen it as kind of a stepping stone and a launch pad into potentially something bigger. And yeah, just want to get your take on that.
So you have to, and this is great advice for anybody, and it applies to yachting and applies to every other business. When you're applying for a job, the business that you're applying for wants to have 100% of your attention, not 95, not 90. They want 100, they want 110. They want to see you totally vested in whatever it is that you're going into. For whatever reason that you say, let's say you've got aspirations of grandeur like this guy, right? And you walk into a role and you're saying, I really want this job right now, but where I want to go is I want to be a makeup or a hair and makeup designer, or I want to be a fashion designer, or I want to be a financial advisor. It doesn't really matter what it is. But if you're not invested in the role that you're going for, no one's going to hire you from a business standpoint. But majority of the industry, there's so much turnover in crew. A lot of people realize how hard it is, how long it takes before you actually really start seeing any good money unless you start it early. There's a lot of money that goes into certification and training. So people want to see that you're vested. But also from the standpoint, if I'm going to go hire somebody on a boat, I want to know that you can do your shit. I want to make sure that, you know, yes, do you have the skills to do the role? If not, can you grow into it? And then at the same time, have you got the personality for it? But because there's also so much competition for good jobs on the market, if you're not 100%, you're going to get glossed over. So if you have to lie, and I'm not saying do it intentionally where, you know, you're only going to be there for 2-3 months, but shit changes. 6 months, a year, you know, maybe a family, but if something crazy happens or there's a massive life shift, like, people get it. They understand. Like, it's not forever. But if you're going to go for apply for a job and it's every single job that you go for, you want to be 110, 115, 120% committed to that one job every single time.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think sometimes just because your end goal isn't necessarily in the same industry, it doesn't mean you can keep yourself accountable and still give it 100% all day long. I preach this because that is what I'm doing in practice. I've known for quite some time that this will not be my career, but that doesn't mean you wake up every day knowing, okay, what's the best way I can add value today? And also, if you're an HOD and you have junior crew on you, you need to lead by example. If the people working under you and supposed to the ones that are supposed to listen to you see that you're checking out and your brain is elsewhere, like, that's not a good look for anyone. And quite frankly, we're getting paid pretty good money to do our jobs, so just do it properly.
Yeah, just show up. If you know, I've always said the door was open when someone walked into the boat. The door will be open when they leave, whether or not it's on their own or whether I'm kicking them out. But you want to go in happy, you want to leave happy. That you have to, every single person that ends up listening to this, you drive your own career, no one else. So whether you want to show up, you want to be a douchebag, or you want to be awesome at your job, it's on you every single time. But it also means being in the right environment. If you show up and you give 110%, awesome. But it's going to come to a point for every single person, doesn't matter what role or what position they end up, they get bored. You get tired, and you want to make sure you catch yourself before you get there. But for every crew and for every boat, go in, deliver as much as you can. And when it's time, just be nice about it. Don't sink the ship on the way out.
Yeah. Yeah, don't burn those bridges either, because you never know when you need a helping hand from an old captain.
Tiny,
it is. Can you give us one or two of your horror stories in yachting? to entertain people mid-finance podcast. What is some story that you'll never forget that happened on board?
Define horror stories.
Well, but funny, maybe
there's always stories.
Well, whether it's an unreasonable guest request, a crew member getting let go for something they did, just some juicy goss.
Well, without naming names, one of my favorites was an HOD that decided, how do I put it, decided to party fairly hard all the way up to departure time. We were leaving the dock, we were heading back on another transit, and this one individual thought it would be a good idea to have a great time, which is awesome, turned up late and was absolutely blitzed on arrival and thought it was totally fine, thought it was no issues. And I'm like, come on board. Yes, yes, come on. You look tired. You should have a nap. Put him down to bed. And then everybody had to cover his shifts until he sobered up. And then he was let go once we got back to the next port. And that's me being nice. I probably should put him on a plane, but
that does an HOD, probably someone essential for navigation, is a rookie error.
Yeah, it just, people do interesting things. And there's loads more stories like that. But that one is, that's kind of like one of my fun ones.
Yeah.
People do strange things.
I do. And I mean, we laugh about it, but there is a degree of where I think the alcohol and mental health barriers in this industry are not always discussed. And oftentimes after a long season, people decompress and they just don't, yachts don't decompress like normal people. You know, normal people take a few days off. Yeah, of course. And then, 2 day bender and then you're back to charter pickup. Pretty savage. So you in 20 years of yachting, you've managed to build a beautiful family. You've got two daughters, I believe, and been happily married for quite some time. Do people in the industry pondering whether it's possible to have such a life? What advice would you give them?
So I think everybody financially knows that having kids is probably not the wisest financial move that someone could make. It's definitely one out of love. But what I did notice, and it's becoming more and more accepted, is that as you're getting older, the more time you spend in it. Like, and it's natural that you're going to meet someone, maybe you end up having kids. For the vast majority of captains that I've met, it's really difficult to maintain a marriage just because you're away so often. And the further you get up food chain, the more responsibility you have. And it's essentially like a mistress that you didn't want. And the boat does take up a lot of time. But when it comes to family, if you manage to prioritize that in some way, shape or form, whether it's with the program or with yourself and your partner. Like, I used to fly my other half in with our daughter when we were at one. They would come down island, hang out, be on the boat for a minute, go to the beach and just chill out, enjoy the sun. So there's huge bonuses to it. But once the kids hit school age of about five and they're more sort of locked in, it becomes more difficult. And as well, if your other half has a job. So it's not easy, but it can be done.
That's realistic framework. Yeah.
It's not ideal in any way, shape or form. No, I don't think anybody ever wants to leave their kids and their family.
Yeah, Of course. And on that, not just on the time balancing, but like financially, as a father of children, what are some good, what are some bad money moves you've made in your yachting career? And then also specifically towards the future of your family. Boom, crossfire.
I would say I'm the perfect case study of how not to live your life financially. There's a lot of advice that comes out in the beginning where you'll get someone that's unrelatable, typically a finance dude or someone that's like, hey, compounded interest, mutual funds, this. And everybody that's offered up financial advice, whilst I understand it, their interest was purely financial from their end, not my end. Like you look at mutual funds that have high accounting fees, where you never actually see any real growth from the product or from your money that you're putting in, but everybody's getting paid, just not you, so long as you're seeing the growth in the fund. Mm-hmm. So that advice, whilst it was good, it was shit at the same time because it was just crappy marketing. But all, the other side of it was, even for me, the money that I was making when I started out, I hadn't been making that money. I was paycheck to paycheck before I got into yachting, and debt and all that sort of stuff. So when I got into yachting, I'm like a kid in a candy store. I was having a grand old time, and I saved money. And then instances in life popped up where it cleaned me out and back up again and then back down. But I think from a financial advice standpoint, you know, there's a lot of rhetoric out there that you need to have at least 6 months worth of savings. I agree 150%. I'd probably even push that up to 12 months to even 18 months, depending on how high, where your seniority is, just because it can take so long to find an alternate job or something that's, you know, of note that you're going to enjoy. But I also think financially, the advice that's out there now, if you can get like a well-rounded, diversified portfolio that doesn't necessarily, like an all-weather portfolio, that's not specifically into mutual funds or tied to one thing, where if the market drops out, you've just lost 30-40% of your net worth. Mm-hmm. It's like you need to do something. But because everybody's sitting on all this cash, theoretically, it burns a hole in your pocket. So, you know, it's a nice little Breitling or a little Rolly on your wrist, or maybe there's a Cartier Love bracelet or, you know, a Bergen or something that's in your sights. 100%. You need to go for those things as a small win. Mm-hmm. But the one piece that I wish I'd held on to was that idea of compounding. That if my sort of never to touch funds were still intact to this day, life would be very different. But the upside for me is it's life, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just shit happens and you start again. But I think for a lot of people, if you're smart and you know that, just like me, 20 years happened really fucking quickly. Mm-hmm. And you end up, you know, looking over at a 14-year-old daughter and you're just like, did that really happen twice? And you're like, you know, that's like they call it an investment, right? Right. But yeah, I would say all weather portfolio, find someone that can help you financially move the needle, that is vested in your success, but also understanding that the fee structure is going to work in your favor, not theirs. And just realize this is one hell of a game. If you don't work hard now, you're going to pay for it when you're older.
That is absolutely spot on advice, you know. And it's funny that you start out saying like you're the perfect case study because
I did everything backwards. You name it, I've done it backwards.
Yeah, And you know, like this is exactly why I started the Yachting Investor, and I've started, like, that's why I'm taking on this podcast, because a 20-year-old Dickie listening to you saying all this still with tongue in cheek and a smile, it's like, it's so relatable. Like, instead of being, like you said, normally financial advisors, it's some scary old dude in a tie and a suit and he's throwing away big words. And now we're
S&P 500 stocks. Yes, we're going to put 5,000 in that. We have 500. Like, yeah, whatever.
You see, it deters people from making any form of decision because they have analysis paralysis. There's too much shit to work through. Whereas now they listen to you, it's like, it's just so refreshing to hear. So thanks for that. You've recently exited.
But that leads into something else, which we should pick up for another time. And that would be, we rally around a couple of good financial advisors that are not douchey, that get yachties and understand that we want to diversify. We're ready for high growth, and they're just cool people that get us. So this would be a good way to kind of vet a few people, bring them in, and just, like, you know, true colors, you know, for the world to see. How's your performance?
That's the goal. Yeah, that's the goal of all this, because they're out there. It's just, you got to find people that can relate to the flexibility and the uncertainty of our careers, you know? And to close things off, I believe you've recently exited the industry in pursuit of something else. Give us a throwdown of what you're busy with now.
So I choose to call myself a Fender. So I'm kind of between boats or transitioning out. For years, and everybody in the industry will understand this, that when it comes to contractors and vendors in the boating and yachting world, the one thing that we want is we want someone to show up, and we've got a standard that we like to people to try and meet. So I've shifted into investing and scaling yachting and maritime businesses. Really just bringing my 20 plus years of operational experience, bringing that ashore so that boats, captains, chief officers, chief stews, whatever it ends up being, that when they're looking for someone that understands what it is that they're talking about, that it's relatable, it's easy, there's service there, and, you know, we do what we say and we say what we can do. And also, you know, the best of ability, you know, bring it in on budget, which is not always going to be the case because it's always custom, but I think more so that someone gets it and picks up the phone. That's it. So yachting and maritime businesses.
That's amazing. And I obviously, your operational experience and being a captain for that long is providing some valuable attributes in attacking this. Like, has it been a big adjustment or?
Oh, it's huge. It's a really big adjustment. I think anybody that wants to take the transferable skills from yachting aren't easily seen, because, like, picking up a chamois doesn't necessarily translate to looking at someone's P&L statement. Yeah. But what you realize is that there's a lot of skills that you take out of the whole yachting. It's hospitality based. You're dealing with people one-on-one. There's a lot of skills that you can bring over, but where a lot of the businesses have come in, they came in to solve a problem. You know, maybe they're supplying provisions, or maybe they're repairing one aspect of the boat. They were good at that one aspect, but it didn't necessarily mean they were great at business. That's one aspect. And then the second part, you know, for anybody that's been to South Florida, it is an absolute hub for yachting. And a lot of the guys that have been in here for, you know, for years and years, there's no succession in the business. Nobody wants to go and work their ass off in a business that relates to yachting, because it's like, it's just too hard. Mm-hmm. So there's no succession.
So you basically being there to help them exit because there's no continuity for them. So rather take your chips off the table now before your business goes to shit. is what you're doing.
That, and it, as well, nobody knows your business. You know, you can think of it this way, even with captains or any business owner, nobody knows your business like you. You are one in a million, one in a billion type of thing, just the way people have grown up and created their business. So unless there was succession already set, no one will know all the intricacies of the business. So there's that element that I can bring in. I've got the yachting knowledge and then help them get out in a sort of an easy way.
That's a cool pivot out of yachting. And I truly wish you the best. And if I have any businesses needing this type of service, reach out. Before I say goodbye to you, how do our listeners get in touch with you if they want to learn more?
The easiest one's going to be on LinkedIn. There's also a website with the same. It's Lord Luke Hammond at LinkedIn or at lordlukehammond.com. There's a story for another day, but yeah, that's the easiest way to find me.
I'll add all of that in the show notes, potentially even convince you to give us the background story of where the Lord comes from.
That will be over a beer.
Well, I look forward to that. And thanks so much for taking the time to chat to us today. I'm hoping everyone listening to the Rich as Fuck podcast has learned something today. And hopefully we can help yachties path their way towards financial freedom.